بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه والاه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. And welcome to this interview with productive Muslims around the world. Today's guest is a special guest is Sheikh Imam Siraj Wahaj, one of the most admired Muslim leaders and speakers in America. He's an accomplished Muslim activist and the founder and Imam of Masjid Taqwa. Imam Siraj, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, beloved. May Allah bless you. Alhamdulillah, and the great work and efforts that you're doing for the cause of Allah and Islam.
Inshallah. Imam Siraj, this interview is about understanding how you stay productive and how you fight procrastination and laziness. So I want to start off by a question. What keeps you productive? What keeps you active?
I think there's no greater example than in activism than our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He taught us the meaning of action and activities for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah mentioned the Quran that man shall have nothing except for what he strives for. And you cannot live in a society, especially like America, when you have so many great challenges, you have so many different faiths and even irreligious things. You can't help but, if you're Muslim, to be active. So the very fact that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a great example in Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, from the moment he got his message, he got the revelation, from the moment he got it, he began activity. First is the activity of ibadah. How can you be Muslim and not be engaged in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether we're making salat, going to the masjid, whether we fast in the month of Ramadan, whether we're making pilgrimage to Mecca, all of that entails activity and action. Also, if you live in a country that are dominated by the non-Muslims, then how could you not give the da'wah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to invite the people to Islam, to invite them to the truth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because of that, and because of the society in which we live, we are commanded to share the message of Islam with everyone else. And I guess that's the reason that keeps me moving and keeps me motivated. You know, Islam is not a religion that you do on one day. Some Christians, they go to church. I used to be a Christian, and I used to go to church on Sunday, and that was it. That was my Christian activity. And Islam is not like something you do on Friday, but Islam is something we do every day. And as Muslims, we have to do something every day. And Allah makes sure He lets us know that we have to at least make prayer five times a day and so forth and so on.
Imam Siraj, how do you balance between being productive at home, being productive in da'wah, being productive in the community? How do you balance between all of those?
Alhamdulillah, we have a perfect example in the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. And he was a man that did it all. And, you know, and not only did he do da'wah, from the day one, and I mean, if you think about it, it was one man. I'm reminded of what our beloved Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam once said to his wife Sarah. Yeah, Sarah, laysa al-wajib adda mu'min ghayri wa ghayruki. Oh, Sarah, there's not one believer on the face of the earth other than you and me. And when you look at the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, it was him. Allah gave him the revelation, and what did he do? Immediately he began to share it with his wife Khadija anha, and his beloved friend Abu Bakr and his cousin Ali. And when you start thinking, and Bilal and all of these people who accepted Islam under the guidance of our beloved Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. So when you look at him, he was a man that, you know, he fasted, he prayed, he gave the da'wah. He was up at night. He even fought jihad. He said, Billah. And according to one narration we read in Al-Bukhari, that someone asked how many ghazwa did our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam participate in. Someone said 19. So here was a man struggling to keep the community alive and active. So he had to make migration. He had to do the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had to spend 13 years in Mecca teaching the essence of the faith to his handful of followers. And when you look at that, and he did that, all of that, and he fought jihad, and he did da'wah, and he did it all, then we can do it all, and we have to be balanced. Not only do we have to be balanced with the work of Islam, but we also have to be balanced with our family. We have to spend time with our family. You know, we have growing children. Allah bless me to have 9 children and a host of 7 children. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to keep me, you know, involved in that, because my first responsibility, as you know, is toward my family. So you got your family, you have the business, you have economic development of yourself and your community. You have all of that, and you do the da'wah. So it's a matter of a management, time management. So you sit down and you manage. Well, you can't, you know, you have to balance it out. Just like our Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, just like he balanced it out.
Yeah. I was going to ask you then, how do you fight laziness and procrastination? So when you feel like you don't want to do something, so how do you fight that?
that's a great question. You know, we all get that. We all get like, you know, I don't feel like doing it today. But you know what I think happens, that the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, has trained us so well, because Allah has trained him so well, that he has trained us. You know, the first thing he did, subhanAllah, is he taught us ibadah and making this a lot. And like, you don't have a choice of, well, you know what, I'm too tired to get up for Fajr. No, you train. You get up at Fajr, and you know, and you make all your prayers. You make your prayer 5 times a day. That in itself is a training to get us, to keep us, you know, involved. And we want to be lazy and we want to procrastinate. Again, how do you negotiate that? Is that, again, you look at our beloved Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, and you look at the Sahaba, because in a real sense, the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, while he's an example to us from a perspective as a person, when you look at the Sahaba, the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, خَيْرُ أُمَّةِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونُهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونُهُمْ, the best of my ummah is my generation, and then the generation that follows it, and the generation that follows it. So that means that, so now we have an example of actually a whole group of people that are examples of, you know, for us to follow. So it's one thing to say, well, he's a messenger of Allah, and, you know, how can we be like him? Okay, that's a fair argument. But also he has a whole group of people who followed him and followed behind his noble example. So the Sahaba did it, and those who followed them, they did it. So we have great examples, and alhamdulillah, we just keep on moving, keep on struggling, and keep on working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, overcoming our procrastination, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to overcome procrastination. And when you look at, and I always believe that knowledge makes a difference, and this is why one of the prophets, peace and blessing be upon him, he was getting beaten by his people. He said, Allahumma ikfir li qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, forgive my people because they do not know. And so it's knowledge. I think that when people know better, they do better. And all throughout the Sharia, we learn this. And the Prophet said, peace and blessing be upon him, that if you knew what I knew, you would laugh little and weep much. You would laugh little and weep much. So when you look at our condition with knowledge, and you realize that you don't have time to procrastinate, you don't have time to get lazy, because you talk about the very survival of the Muslims, especially here in the West, in light of this Islamophobia. In fact, we have a conference that's going to begin this weekend here in Atlanta, Georgia, and we have Muslim leaders all over the country coming here, from around the world, actually coming in here and talking about the struggle of those who are fighting against and opposing Islam. And so once you know that, when you realize that this is a struggle of life and death, then you say, okay, I don't have time to be lazy, and I don't have time to procrastinate. Let me get busy and work on the very survival of the Muslims, inshallah.
So when you have too many things to do in a day and you have too little time, how do you prioritize?
For me, I tell you, as I mentioned before, that to me knowledge is so critical. Every day I have to find time to study. That first, of course, ibadah. Put ibadah first. That's not it's not even like a question, you know. So you surround your day with the worship, you know. And it's interesting because we live, the time of the year that we have right now is the salat. They come so fast. When you talk about Zohr, Asr, Maghrib, back to back to back to back. So the first thing you want to do is put your schedule around the ibadah, around the salat. That's number one. And then number two, for me, I have to have time to study. That's like, to me, fundamental, basic. I got to get some time to study, because, you know, studying for Muslims is a lifelong proposition. It's not something that we do, you know, every once in a while. It's something that we have to, as far as I'm concerned, something we do every day. So for me, after the ibadah, is the is the studying, is learning the faith, and then after that, you know, of course, we plan, you know, during the week, different programs, whether it's going to be da'wah, or whether they're going to have classes, whether they're going to have you know, whatever different programs, you know, that comes as a result of planning. And once we plan that, you know, in advance, then we set a time, you know, because, like, for instance, making my schedule, I'm invited to give speeches to different colleges and universities. And so what I do, I jot down maybe in the beginning, 3 months in advance. So I'm putting them all through my scheduling, making, looking, okay, what can I do? Which programs can I reasonably do? What states can I travel to? What countries can I travel to? So that's part of the work. So it's about a matter, again, time management. It's like, okay, once you commit, I have to admit, you got to be committed. If you're not committed, all of this is a new point. You know, we're wasting our time. But if we're committed to the cause, committed to Islam, committed to da'wah. And I think that, Sheikh, the older we get, the more mature we get, the more we understand, like Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, he once said, La hakim ila dhu tajriba, there's no real wisdom without experience. And once we get the experience of doing this work, getting used to, getting accustomed to doing this work, then it's a matter of just, okay, prioritize what we're going to do this month, what we're going to do this week, what we're going to do this day. And it's time management. Sit down and time management. What can I reasonably do? And if I find myself going too far, staying too much away from home, then I said, okay, let's kind of readjust our schedule a little bit. And it's all about readjustments, reevaluating our scheduling, and making sure we keep the balance.
Inshallah. One of our fans is asking about your sleep. How many hours do you sleep, and how can they manage their sleep?
Yeah, over the years, it's been different. I found out that I do need my rest. You know, maybe years ago I'd go for 4 or 5 hours of rest, but I found out now that's not really good enough. So I think more like 6 or 7 hours. But I think it's according to the individual. Maybe some young brothers like yourself, you can probably just sleep 1 hour, 1 hour, you know, every 2 or 3 days. But old guys like me, we need more time. So, you know, it's a personal thing. I haven't read anywhere the exact number of hours that the Prophet slept, because I think that, you know, if he told us, then it's simply about trying to do what the Prophet said, peace and blessing be upon him. So since I don't know any guidelines specifically that he's given to us, then we try to do, you know, what's reasonable for us, and we find ourselves if we're getting, I know me, that if I don't have enough rest, then I can't be, I can't operate optimum. You know, I feel a little bit sluggish, and I feel that I best operate personally when I get sufficient rest. And again, it varies from time to time, but I would say for me, on average, I can't even remember when I last got 6 straight hours, so I may sleep a few hours and do some rest and, you know, take a nap here and there.
Now, Imam Siraj, how do you define a productive Muslim? What's your definition of a productive Muslim?
A productive Muslim is a well-balanced Muslim. And by the way, I want to say this since we're on the subject. Talking about balance, I think it's crucial. I don't think Muslims talk about it enough. We should also be balanced in our everyday life, meaning our diets. we ought to be balanced and be careful about our diets, because if you think about it, the first commandment that that our father Adam and Eve was given is about his diet, about eating a certain kind of food. And the food that he ate was very destructive to him, and so many things happened to him. On the one hand, but on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us in the Quran that we shouldn't only eat halal, but halal and ta'ibun, the halal and good. So we got to be real careful about our diets, and we got to make sure that we eat good food, and we have, consult, especially Muslim doctors. I think we ought to, forget about, the obvious alcohol, and which is destructive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already told us 1,400 years ago, فَتَنِبُهُ لَعَلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, that we should stay away from it in order to be successful. Forget about alcohol and drugs. That's definite. That's obvious. And the next thing that's maybe not as obvious to some people, but extremely obvious to me, is tobacco. It's destructive. We have in America 440,000 people die a year as a result of smoking cigarettes, and you got 53,000 that die every year secondhand smoke. Here are people who decided they don't want to smoke, but other people smoke, and because of secondhand smoke, they die. According to the World Health Organization and the United Nations, they said that by the end of the 21st century, if the nations of the world do nothing about it, 1 billion people would have died as a result of smoking a cigarette. Hold on one second. Keep going, sir. The other thing, Sheikh, is that 600,000 people die worldwide as a result of secondhand smoke. So that's good. Alcohol, drugs, and cigarettes, that's a little bit more obvious. But what's not as obvious is some of the foods that we eat. Too much refined sugar, too much sugar in our diets, destructive. So we have to get into a balanced diet. We have to eat right. We have to exercise. So not only am I talking about doing the right things Islamically, making salat and all of that, and the ibadah, all of that. Sheikh, hold on one second. And all of that, but also we're talking about balanced diet, eating right, exercising. We don't exercise enough, and we should get plenty of exercise every day. Alhamdulillah, making salat, that helps. That's good. But we need more than that. Walking, running, and those kind of cardiovascular exercises. So we ought to be balanced that way also. So good, productive Muslim is one. I remember the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, "Al-mu'minu qawiyyun khayrun wa hablu illallah min al-mu'min da'if wa fi kulli khayrin." A strong believer is better and more loved by Allah than a weak believer, but there's good in all of them. So he's telling us, alayhi salatu wa salam, that we ought to be strong believers. And a strong believer means that we are strong not only mentally, spiritually, religiously, but even our bodies, we are strong. So a good, productive Muslim is one who, in every aspect of his life, he is, he's concerned with his intellectual development, his spiritual development, his physical development, all of that. That's a productive Muslim, inshallah. And then, finally, him sharing what he has with his neighbors and with his brothers and sisters and with the rest of the world, the rest of humanity. Because after all, we have different identities. As the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, الناس كلهم بنو آدم وآدم من تراب. The children of Adam, all of mankind are the children of Adam, and Adam was created of dust. So we have that relationship with the rest of humanity. The Prophet said, إنما أنا بشر, I'm only a human being. So that means that we have a relationship with the other human beings, and so we have a relationship with them. I happen to be an American. I happen to be African American. I happen to be a man. And all of these things, all of these relationships that we have. So if you're going to be a good, productive Muslim, you have to share this message with other people. Not only do we have a relationship with other Muslims, How can Muslim men ala Muslim comes? The Prophet said, right of a Muslim over another is five. But also, we have other this creation has rights over us and other human beings. So we want a productive Muslim is one who is balanced, and everything in his life, in his entire life, his family life, you know, his economic life, his spiritual, all of that, and his physical body, inshallah.
Master Raj, jazakallah khair for a beautiful, inspiring interview. And
okay,
it's great
brother.
For you, inshallah. May Allah bless you and keep you, and may Allah reward you for all your hard work. And keep
thank you so
inshallah.
Much.
Jazakallah khair.
All right. Barakallah, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum.